Well, welcome to the latest ASI cast. And today I'm joined by someone who's no stranger to our podcast, Justin Sampson of Barb. Now, it's an exciting day for Barb as they've unveiled the much anticipated new TV measurement service for the UK that will start in 2024. That's in terms of scope, technology, and suppliers. So, welcome back, Justin.
Hi, Richard.
Now, before we get into the details of the new service, what were the key objectives for Barb that drove the tender process in the first place? What were you looking for?
I think before talking about specific objectives, it's worth just setting a little bit of context, which is that Barb has been through a fertile period of development in recent years. We've introduced pre-broadcast live and post-broadcast viewing on broadcast to VOD services, BVOD services. We've introduced being able to report archive content on BVOD, viewing on four devices. We've integrated big data. We've introduced a total campaign performance planner. And we're on the verge of this year introducing viewing figures for SVOD and video sharing services. So in that context, the objective was very much to build on the momentum that we've got, and to make sure that we have a service that's fit for purpose until the end of the decade. And it's clearly difficult to know exactly what's going to happen between now and the end of 2029. But I think it's very clear we will always need highly engaged panel members. Countering the effects of fragmentation is a constant. And there is clearly an industry need for independent, objective and transparent measurement of how people are watching the full range of broadcast and streaming services that they can choose from these days. And the decision we're announcing today really underscores the long-term commitment from the UK advertising and television industry to Barb and everything we stand for gold standard, high quality, independent and objective measurement.
Now, it can't have been easy overseeing this whole process. You started before the pandemic, but then the pandemic hit. Has that impacted the process either in terms of how you conducted it, but I guess also your concerns about, you know, how the service should look to be prepared against future disruption?
Well, the tender has ended up being a much longer process than envisaged. We issued the first ITT documentation back in April 2019, so that's just over 2 years ago. And having not made a decision as expected in March 2020, one of the things we did do in the extended period of tendering is to add two additional contracts to the process, which is the collection of census data for BVOD services and another contract to audit the software implementations that are necessary to collect that data. But in terms of the way the pandemic affected the process, I mean, at a practical level, we had to do our pitch presentations via Zoom, which wasn't ideal, but I think all parties made the best of the circumstances. And actually that part of the process was more effective than I imagined. But in terms of the actual solutions, all contenders were imaginative in putting forward ways of countering the possible long-term effects of the pandemic. And I think we have to stress possible long-term effects, because I still don't think we fully understand which parts of the processes we've had to adapt in the last year or so are with us for the long run, and which will gradually get back to some semblance of how things were pre-pandemic. I mean, one thing that is a constant is the need for business continuity, and stability has always been very important for Barb. And we have, in the last two big contract periods, elected to change our contractor for the audience measurement panel once that went not very well, and we don't tend to talk about 2002 much, but 2010 went very well. So we did have a template to hand, which gave us confidence that we could make a change if needs be. But inevitably there's some uncertainty about recruit rates as we do gradually emerge from the pandemic. But as I said, everybody was very imaginative in putting forward ways countering the effects, and we had great options to choose from throughout the tender process.
Well, I guess one of the side effects of the pandemic is that there aren't industry events and things going on where people pick up gossip about what the shape of the new contract might be like. So today the details were unveiled. Can you give us at a headline level what you think are the main innovations for the BAR contract, the headline items that you're most proud of?
Well, there are three things I'd highlight. First of all, we've commissioned Kantar to deliver the audience measurement panel, and core to their proposal was a new metering technology, which is housed in a tablet device. And the meter looks much more modern than the metering we're using currently on TV sets. It will be much more at home in the modern home. And the tablet uses avatars, which are designed to engage panel members when they need to register presence in the room. And Kantar's work shows that these avatars are particularly likely to engage younger panel members. So the first headline I'd point to is the new metering technology that we'll be putting on TV sets in the panel. The second is the size of the panel itself. We've got a commitment from the industry to build out the reporting size to 7,000 TV set homes. And that's a very large step change. It's the largest ever step change in reporting sample in BARB's history since we launched 40 years ago. So that's the second headline. And the third thing I'd point to is RSMB, who we've appointed to deliver services that ensure the quality of the survey design and also monitoring and auditing the quality of the outputs. They've made a commitment to invest in new skills, machine learning, and new analytic tools that we think are very important to refresh and enhance the ongoing audit of panel management processes and also our monitoring of reported audience viewing levels.
So what's the thinking behind the larger panel size? What specific benefits will that bring to users?
Fragmentation of viewing is a constant. It has been and it will be. And inevitably this leads to data variability, which can affect confidence in our reporting, particularly of demographic profiles of audiences. And historically, BARB has responded to fragmentation by increasing its sample. That said, this is the largest step change ever, from just over 5,000 to 7,000. And that partly reflects that it's nearly 20 years since we last increased the sample. But I think it's also a serious statement of intent from BARB's underwriters that a high quality representative panel of homes is critical to independent, objective and transparent measurement of viewing audiences.
So in terms of how you actually get there, are you building out from the current panel or is it a new panel from scratch? And if you are building out from the current panel, is that going to be done gradually or are you going to effectively run the additional bit and test it and then release it into the currency? How when will we get to the 7,000?
So the first objective will be to convert the existing panel from the current TV set meters to the new TV set meters. And once we achieve that, we will then start building the reporting size up to 7,000. So we're just in the stages of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the implementation plan. There might be one or two tweaks to that as before we actually get going. But we're anticipating that we're going to get to 7,000 in time for the start of the new contract or shortly thereafter. And what we will be doing throughout the process from the moment we start installing the new TV set meters into the current panel is to ensure that we're constantly monitoring the effects of swapping out old technology and replacing it with new. And the increased sample will be largely across the board. Well, one thing that's worth maybe highlighting is that currently the BARB reporting sample is oversampled in 6 out of 13 regions. Now, once we've completed the expansion to 7,000 homes, we will have less need to oversample in some regions. So I think we're going to end up with a situation where only 3 regions will need to be oversampled.
You mentioned new metering for the TV set. Obviously, you've been investing heavily in rolling out router meters, which is how you're, I think, one of the key elements of how you're going to be able to produce SVOD ratings this year. Is that a continuation of the same technology?
Yes. So the Kantar router meter, which we expect to have fully deployed in the current panel during the third quarter of this year, that will be the same metering technology going forward. So when we do the swap out of the TV set meters, the router meters will remain unchanged. And as and when we get to expanding the panel, those homes that have broadband will have the same router meter installed. And you're right that the router meter is an important contributor to our ability to report viewing to SVOD and indeed video sharing services. And the router meter will work alongside an audio matching solution that Kantar has put forward to identify audiences to individual programs that are delivered on SVOD. So that's another element of the service enhancements that the industry here in the UK will be getting this year.
In terms of granularity, are there any thoughts about potentially moving to second by second reporting as opposed to the current 1 minute level?
It's something that we've been talking about with the industry. It's a move that has quite a lot of ramifications in terms of the systems that are used by both the buyers and sellers. So it's a development that will need lots of careful thought and planning. It's a potential application of the solutions put forward by Kantar, but that's not a decision that's been rubber stamped as yet.
So there's potentially the technical capability, yeah, to do it. It's more about the implications of how you would implement that data.
That's right, and there's a conversation about that. And I mean, I think one thing that's interesting is the trend toward, or should I say back towards, the importance of contextual planning and the need to be really sure of the editorial environment in which ads are seen, and that potentially being more important than actually having detailed, granular, second by second reporting. And so there's a broader contextual sort of conversation going on in the industry, which might be affecting some people's thinking on the merits or not of going to second by second reporting.
Now, you currently obviously are measuring broadcaster VOD and have been for a while in terms of content. What are the plans around potential measurement of broadcaster VOD advertising? I know that a number of Barb stakeholders are signed up to the Seaflight service. Is there any connection there, or how are you going to be measuring advertising online?
So our panel and census data-based solution provides very strong foundations for how we can help to meet the buyer side's need for understanding total campaign performance. And you've mentioned Seaflight, which I'll come back to in a moment. Last summer, Barb launched a beta version of a BVOD campaign planning service, which relies heavily on data sourced from our panel, which is enhanced by the census data that we collect as well. And this BVOD planner, which is designed to meet pre-campaign planning needs, has been enhanced and optimized already this year so that buyers and sellers of advertising can optimize budgets across linear and BVOD, and they can also plan BVOD campaign performance by device. We're expecting further enhancements to that system a little bit later this year. When we've fully deployed the router meter, we'll be able to rely on our panel for all TV said BVOD and smartphone viewing, which means we can expand the reporting of our pre-campaign planning tool to include children as a target market and also Northern Ireland as a region. And the BVOD planner is complementary to CFlight. And we are, as Barb, now starting to get into conversations with the commercial broadcasters and with the IPA about how Barb can help support the development of CFlight. And I think it's worth pointing out CFlight is already reliant on Barb. We are increasingly in conversations about how perhaps at a first stage Barb could help with assuring standards and also communications to help the market understand how CFlight and the BVOD planner work together to meet the buyer side's needs for assessment, both in the pre-campaign and post-campaign stage. And then potentially at a second stage, more involvement from Barb in guiding the future development of CFlight and perhaps even also getting involved in providing governance. So the story from Barb is one of, we're already delivering a service to help with pre-campaign, and we're increasingly working with other parts of the industry to support how CFlight can meet post-campaign planning requirements.
Are there parallels perhaps there with the way that Barb interacts with Sky AdSmart, for example, where you can provide that context for, you know, a more granular measurement being done in parallel?
I mean, I think the solution that we have for AdSmart is designed to a different end, in that we need to ensure that there's no double counting of audiences for advertisers who have had their linear advertising swapped out in favour of dynamically inserted advertising. And that requirement will continue, and that is very much part of the service going forward. In terms of the BVOD planner and CFlight, those services are very much focused on the BVOD services rather than dynamically inserted advertising. But there's no reason why, as the market develops in terms of the proposition from commercial broadcasters to the buy side, that Barb can't continue to move with those developments. We've got a tremendous range of facilities at our disposal that means we should be able to move nimbly in response to any changing requirements from the industry.
You mentioned BVOD. Now, one of the holy grails of the, or the North Star, as it's referred to, of the recent WFA initiative around cross-media measurement has been to be able to put BVOD alongside YouTube, Facebook, and other online video services. How far does the new service go towards meeting those advertiser concerns about cross-media measurement of all video advertising?
Well, the developments that we've already got in place are already helping to deal with what historically Barb has called unidentified viewing. And unidentified viewing is anathema to Barb. We hate the concept of things we can't identify. So we are increasingly able to demonstrate viewing to services that aren't subscribing currently to Barb, whether it be VOD services that offer commercial opportunities such as Amazon Prime or video sharing services such as YouTube. We're able to provide additional insight and importantly insight that's been generated independently through a high quality representative panel. So we're generating insights that are helpful to understand how people are viewing across a wide range of platforms. In terms of the WFA's ambitions and how they're being pursued here in the UK, Barb is in dialogue with ISBAR about Project Origin. And we know that ISBAR is keen that Barb data play a role in Project Origin. And that's the focal point of Barb's conversation with ISBAR. And we're very open to the idea that any of our data that we collect could potentially play a role in that solution. And that's part of a conversation that is being had.
But presumably the innovations that you've talked about will make the panel more compatible or more attractive as a component to any cross-media measurement system?
Attractions in the eye of the beholder. We think it looks pretty good.
So finally, you alluded to timelines during the conversation, but just to, it seems a good point to end on, in terms of when users can expect these things to come online. The new contract in terms of actual literal contract starts in 2024 and runs for 6 years, is that correct?
That's right, so it'll run until the end of 2029. As I said earlier, the migration of the panel to new metering technology and expanding it to the new reporting size of 7,000 will happen over time. What will be going on behind the scenes is there a new contract is always an opportunity to look at how things are done under the bonnet. Maybe there are some things that we're doing which are no longer needed. There are some things we're not doing which are needed, and those will be worked on, and there will be a behind the scenes parallel run of any changes, for example, to calculation methodology, reporting file formats and things like that. We would expect a parallel run from April 2023 through to December 2023 or any of those sort of behind the scenes changes, with the view that all those changes are introduced on January the 1st, 2024. It might be as we go through that some of them are feasible to be introduced sooner, and if that can be done without any unnecessary disruption, then we would naturally think about doing that.
Well, we'll put a link to the announcement that was made today in the show notes, so people can enjoy reading through that in a bit more detail to see exactly what you've so eloquently described anyway, but I'm sure people will want to follow up on that. But hopefully also we've got our plans starting to take shape for our November conference, so it would be great to perhaps look at some of the aspects of the new contract in a bit more detail when you're able to talk a bit more about a deeper dive on the measurement side for those in the audience who like to know exactly how these things work. So, but in the meantime, thanks for taking the time out from a busy launch day to speak to us, and we'll speak to you soon, Justin.
Thanks for having me. See you soon. Stay well.